All right. Hello, good evening. This is the Harbor Advisory Board from the City of Morro Bay. It is Thursday, February 2nd, 2023. We have a quorum right now. So, Lori, do you want to do roll call?
Chair Hansen.
Here.
Member Dowdy. Member Green.
Here.
Member Myers.
Present.
Member O'Brien. Member Vail.
Here.
Member Witkowski. Chair Hansen, you have a quorum.
Okay, thank you very much. Maybe everybody thinks it starts at 6. I don't know. it's there now. Okay, so our next thing is a moment of silence, and my heart goes out to the family of Bob Keller. I had the pleasure of getting to know him, especially when Red Davis, council member, was here with us, and we got to meet every morning on Saturday mornings when Red would have his open hours for City Council, and I called us the RBCs for Red, Bob, and Charisse because we were thinking about all the good veins of Morro Bay and making things work. So I just want everybody to remember that he was a great part of the community, always really wanted to do great things, and his smile just made you a major day. So let's have a moment of silence. All right, thank you. And I didn't ask anybody to do the Pledge of Allegiance before we started, so I'm just going to start us off ourselves. Everybody rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. All right, thank you. Our next section is Chair and Advisory Board and Liaison Announcements. So I will start off with Sean today. Would you like any announcements?
The only announcement I'd like to make is that, that doesn't sound great, is that the Tidelands Trust that Morro Bay is the custodian of is public lands, and that's sort of the advisory board that we oversee that area generally. And Tidelands lease sites, long-term lease sites, come up regularly. Some expire, some are available. And any interested party can always go to the Harbor Department to initiate those talks. If you're interested in long-term lease sites, development along the waterfront, and that's just an ongoing conversation that anyone can initiate, and that begins with the Harbor Department. Thanks.
All right, Chris, Member Vail. Okay, moving on to Vice Chair.
Nothing at this time, thank you.
It's going to be that. Okay. Back of next page. Yeah, I don't see anything. I have notes. There we go. nope, that's not the one. All right. My announcements. I'm going to probably keep them for the outreach part, seeing as I can't find them, my apologies. We have a liaison. We have a new liaison, Zara Landrum. Would you like to make any announcements for the Harbor Advisory Board at this time?
Is this on? I just want to say that I'm happy to be here and to be your liaison and learn more about the Harbor Advisory Board.
Thank you so much. We're so glad to have you here. And just stepping in, we have Member O'Brien. Do you have any announcements today? Sorry to put you on the spot. And he does. So we'll just give him a moment to settle in.
Good evening. Very, very sorry if I held anything up. One of the things I did want to announce very sadly is Fred Cephalou, who was a long, very long time member of the fishing community here in Morro Bay, passed away yesterday morning. Fred had been sick for quite a while, but he was the guy in Morro Bay for many, many years until he retired. He was the fisherman that we all looked up to. He was the guy who always made the right moves. His last boat was the Barbara Marie, which was the flagship here in Morro Bay. Very, very beautiful boat, well cared for. So to Fred and his family and to all his friends, we'd just like to say we're very sorry to hear of his passing. Thank you.
Thank you, Member O'Brien. I did find my one announcement that I wanted to say is, and maybe our city manager, Scott Collins, can help us out on this one. There's a survey out on the city's website under Hot Topics, correct? And it focuses primarily on the surrounding area of the proposed battery storage site. I suggest everybody within the community put in your voice, and there's comments areas as well as multiple choice. So the more that we get in, the more that the city knows next steps with this process. So please look on the city website under Hot Topics and fill out that survey. Okay. Next, we have presentations. So we have a presentation today, which is in regards to fireworks. And I will just move to the other side of the table. I got to do it over there. Yeah, okay. Okay, so are you ready? Laura, you got it up? It's queuing. All right, hello, Harbor Advisory Board. Thank you for having me today. My name is Cherise Hansen. I'm a community member. I have a local business that I've had for 24 years on the Embarcadero. I'm building a new building on the Tidelands property investing over $4 million into Tidelands Trust land and improvements. I'm also the mother of 3 teenage boys. Yes, okay. Why am I working towards doing fireworks in Morro Bay? Well, there's a lot of reasons. One, I've been here for 24 years, and I always enjoyed July 4th. It was the apex of my summer, and it just had a livelihood within the community that I really miss now. And we haven't had them for over 6 years, and even before then we had the laser show, and then the fireworks got moved really far. And I'm just letting you know that when they were going, it was really a fun time. First, when I started thinking about it, I was approached by members of the Embarcadero Master Leaseholders, and they asked me if I would pursue looking into fireworks, and so I did, and I thought more about it, and I thought how important it is to share the same experiences that I had even when I was growing up and here with my children. And all the things that we would do, like barbecues, spend time with family, friends, do outdoor games, we would celebrate the unity of being American. We are so divided these days, both physically and mentally. There's Republicans, Democrats, mask wearers, mask wearers. We're polarized, and on July 4th, it's just a wonderful day to just smile at your neighbor and just be happy that we're all Americans. It's what we share. So I set out to find the best way to recreate that feeling, being sensitive to everyone's concerns. And could you do the next slide? So I actually, one of the first things that I did is I went to the fire marshal and I asked him what would be a good area and what's the likelihood that we can even do fireworks in Morro Bay. And he suggested one of the things that I was suggesting is a good location and then a good company to do it. So he referred me to the Pyro Spectaculars, and that's a local company. They're fully insured and accredited, and they have local technicians. And so I went to one of the local technicians because he's like the he's the father of one of my son's good friends, and we started talking about all the other things that that we need to think about, and so we moved on from there, knowing that we have, you know, a local company and local people that really want to be a part of it. All right, next slide, please. So the location. So now we know that we've had issues with on barges and being too far down, and then it gets really foggy the closer you get to the sand spit. So I thought about the Vistra site where they have the leveled land where the old tanks used to be. And the whole entire area is gated around so public can't go in. And it makes for a very safe, secure location without debris and buildings around it for the shooting off of fireworks. So let's see, previously way, and oh man. Viewable front. And then the other thing is that if you can see from any area around Morro Bay, which most of us can in the different houses that we have, if you can see just a smidgen of the smokestacks, you'll be able to see these fireworks. And then, and if there is fog, we have, we're also choosing all different levels of fireworks, so you'll get to see them if it's low, and then, and if it's a beautiful day, you'll get low, medium, and high. Okay, next slide, please. So the other part is that I wanted to be very sensitive to all the other groups, and I didn't want to do all the work only to find out that I wasn't being sensitive to other businesses, nonprofits, individuals within the community, and get a consensus that the majority of us really want this. And if there is anybody, what can I do to modify the fireworks celebration that would make those groups appeased? And so these are a bunch of the groups, both nonprofit as well as different government agencies that might have jurisdiction within the areas. And next slide. And then I started thinking about all the different benefits, outweighing anything that would make us not want them. And so with modifications and changing the location of them, the benefits are that we get to celebrate our independence in a historical fashion, that we enjoy the holiday in our homes with friends and family. You're free to go down to the waterfront, but it's just so nice to know that you can stay with a smaller group or not have to drive and be in a congested area. This is going to be something that's viewable from a lot of different locations, so a lot of people get to enjoy it, just not a few. It's increased local for increased revenue for local businesses. So with my business, I know it's 100% much more profitable on a July 4th that you have fireworks. I would say the last 2 years has been the lowest day of summer has been July 4th because people leave around 2 or 3 to go to other areas that have fireworks. And also less than half of what a regular day would be is the people who are enjoying it in the morning and afternoon times. And then this is also quantifiable by surveys that the Chamber of Commerce has done that actually note July 4th, majority of businesses were negatively affected by not having fireworks compared to years that they did have fireworks. That also means increased revenue for the city via sales tax and also increased revenue for the harbor fund. So as we know, the infrastructure needs funding for the harbor, and we've tried to, one of our agendas is almost always, what can we find to get more revenue for the harbor fund so we can work on our infrastructure? Well, this would be a small but significant amount of an increase that would help the harbor fund. benefits other events occurring on this holiday weekend. More that I talk to other people, they're like, oh my gosh, I wanted to do, you know, a nonprofit. I wanted to do something for July 4th, but because we don't do it and everybody leaves, they've tried to do events and then they just end up being deflated and costly and not, you know, productive like what they would have expected if for doing all that work to do an event on July 4th and then nobody shows up. So I think that it would really benefit a lot of like the different clubs and nonprofits as well as businesses and the city in general. Views of celebration, again, throughout the entire city. Lori, one more slide. Okay, and this is the budget. I'll just go over that pretty quickly, is that I figured out how much it's going to cost. I've talked to just a small group asking what they would donate, and they've already definitely created enough of a seed money to say that it's a worthy thing to continue. We're not going to start collecting funds from anybody just in tins, but we eventually will, because we don't want anybody to have to put money in if we end up not getting the permits. We want to make it worthwhile. So if you do see a tin and it has our logo, the one that we started with, it's because we're a go. All right, so next slide. Supporters. So I have letters from all of these individuals, Embarcadero Master Lease holders, Friends of Morro Bay Harbor, Morro Bay Tourism Bureau, Chamber of Commerce. Those are all supporting the event. And so I just want everybody to think about anything that they really have questions or concerns. So if we actually are able to do it, that it's going to be a benefit to everybody. So next slide. Fun fact, the first Independence Day celebration was a discharge of cannons, one round for each state in the Union. So that's what started it, is the actual sound. And I think about that and, you know, the feeling that you get when a firework goes off, it's like multiple sensories, and it has a lot to do with how we got our independence, and it actually was through guns and cannons. Since then, it has been built upon to have fireworks in lieu of cannons, music, drinking of toasts, parades, and the use of nation's colors. So let's have Morro Bay celebrate our nation. Next slide. Thank you very much. And this is not something that we're going to vote on or anything like that, but does the board have any questions or comments?
Thank you, Citizen Hansen. do you have any questions? Go ahead.
First, I want to say that your outreach efforts are off the charts. The right thing that anyone putting on, you know, whether it's public or private development, any events, like the way you're reaching out to even what would be a potential opponents is pretty admirable. So definite praise for that. I had two quick questions regarding. I don't know to what extent the Coastal Commission needs to be involved or are involved. Do we have any general sense of how we are or aren't in favor with the Coastal Commission, just kind of across the board, including this event?
Right. So, great question. And yes, I've already been in contact with the Coastal Commission, and what they did is sent me a template of sorts of a approved permit that they gave to Capitola. And Capitola is actually on the wharf, on a pier, so it's on state property, and then it's also in the water, which is a more sensitive area comparatively to the Vista property, but they are going to adhere me to those guidelines, and so I have already had the Pyro Spectaculars give me their bid with all of the inclusions, and they meet all the criteria of Capitola's fireworks approval, as well as I've sought three different companies who would do biological monitoring. So they would do monitoring of the area before the fireworks, observe during, and then do another monitoring of the area after the fireworks. So with all of those in my budget and considered, Coastal will be going through the process, and we'll get a CDP most likely that would be going through them.
Another question I had is, when I was a member of the Tourism Advisory Board, I know that all the hoteliers are generally already at 100% capacity in terms of bed nights and stays over that weekend, so it's more of like a day use add-on. In terms of money and energy put towards this event, how would it compare, like in terms of like a private business on the waterfront? Is it more beneficial to have this event in the heart of our summer as opposed to, let's say, an alternative in a shoulder or off season, or is this more about the celebration portion?
To me, fireworks and July 4th and Independence Day, they're synonymous. And we have actually historically tried to do different things during July 4th and celebration, such as the laser light show. Drones, I actually looked into drones, and they have the same issue with fog, even more less likely to even, they will cancel the event based on that. So other types of celebrating that would bring the people in for July 4th, I don't really see working as well as fireworks, I really feel strongly that fireworks are July 4th. And other shoulder seasons, I am down with, continuing efforts. As I research drones, I think that'd be a really cool thing, and we can create our own time, do Veterans Day. And do drones, and I think that would be awesome. But as far as July 4th, I did talk to two hoteliers, and they said that they are booked because it's always, it's the middle of summer. So it's not necessarily a big drive for them, but it is for businesses. It's huge. It's huge for the restaurants in town. It's huge for the retail. So I think it's still significant, and even though they might not increase their funds, they still support it, and I haven't asked for any payment from them, just that they support.
Cool. Thank you. I wish you well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Good.
Thank you very much, Charisse. You did your homework very well, and personally, I'm always in favor of an event that will bring the community together. That's wonderful. And congratulations. I was wondering, are you collecting, or will you be collecting funds to support this event?
So in the next 2 weeks, I will mostly go to the Embarcadero Master Lease holders for the initial injection to do the permit fees. And then once I get the green, or a 90% green light of fireworks occurring, then we'll start collecting on the website. So we have already ready to go, turn the switch on, and we have a website to do donations, as well as I have all the tins purchased and decorated with our fundraising. So that will happen in, a month or two.
Very good. We'll be looking forward to it. And John had mentioned earlier, that the hotels and so forth are full generally on those days. So perhaps we might not add more into the hotels if they're already full. But those people who are staying in those hotels are looking for something.
Yeah,
and this event will keep them here in Morro Bay. As I know that in previous years when we didn't have the fireworks, everybody was asking, where's the best place to go for the fireworks? So there's a big exodus in Morro Bay because we didn't have the event. And I think this will help keep the people here. Also, there's a lot of people spending a lot of money. I think they'll at least feel like they got a little more for their money, or something for their money, through this event. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, there's great benefits to a lot of the hotels. As I said, most of the people can actually view them from their hotel rooms. There's quite a few vacation rentals as well that can all enjoy the fireworks without all of us congesting the road to Cayucas and causing what is, to me, a nightmare that I don't even want to put my car into to try and watch the fireworks over there, nor do I want to take my three kids. Another thing thing that does happen is with people who come to Morro Bay on July 4th, they think that we're doing fireworks, and then they get discouraged and get upset, and that's not good to hoteliers. I did not ask them about that, but I do know that quite a few of the hotels, especially the new ones going up, are going to have an amazing view. So I look forward to the people really enjoying the money that they spend in their hotels and really enjoying their time in Morro Bay. And one other note is that I did talk to someone, and they said that because we don't do fireworks, a lot of the people will bring over their fireworks, go to the vacation rentals, and shoot them off in the streets, which I would also like to, in our marketing campaign, discourage anybody bringing over their own fireworks, that because we are doing our fireworks, the show is enough, that they do not need to, and that if they're going to do fireworks at all or any kind of loud noises, that they keep it down between 8 and 10 p.m. As to not shock or surprise, and really try and keep that noisy period between 8 and 10 so people can put their pets in their secure houses, as well as, you know, veterans can be aware that, hey, this is happening. It happens a lot on July 4th, but let's try and minimize the shock and surprise.
Yeah. I think I just have one last question. The capital expenses, the fireworks, and you had some other budget numbers up there. It's all going to be fundraising. Is there any impact to the city expenses? I know you had a safety question mark, but extra police, overtime for the Harbor Patrol, possibly. Is there any compensation for that?
Yes, Cal, there is. The question mark is that we plan to pay for it, but if the city council or residents decide that this is something that's worthwhile, the city can possibly at that time either assist to pay half or reduce permit fees, but at this time we're not asking for any of that, nor do we expect it. We're building it into the budget to cover additional fees for fire and police safety.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
No further questions.
All right.
We normally open it to the public for
I got to leave here, go over there, and ask for public comment.
Well, the vice chair can do that on your behalf. Okay. Is there any public comments about the fireworks presentation?
Yes, I have a couple.
Go up to the stand if you'd like.
Well, since you brought it up, cleanup, what can we do about the cleanup on Dog Beach? Those people thrash that beach. Is there any way we can get them not to bring their fireworks? Or is there something that, any suggestions?
So during public comment, we give 3 minutes to each person, and we don't respond to you as like a conversation. No, it's okay. It's all good. Thank you so much. We're just so happy that you're here.
I'm sorry.
You have 3 minutes, and you can say whatever you'd like, and then once you're done and anybody else has a public comment during the period, then we'll end public comment, and then we'll discuss and possibly answer your questions at that time.
Okay, the cleanup thing is, and the Dog Beach thing is very important. It's important to the ocean. I mean, every year that we've been here, we spent hours, days cleaning that beach up. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. I just was hoping maybe someone would come up with a solution.
Thanks. I'm done.
Thank you so much for your time. Do we have any other do we have any other public comments within the audience? Nate, do we have anybody on Zoom?
There are no raised hands in the Zoom.
I know.
No, there are not.
Thank you. Okay, so we are going to close public comment at this time. And we're going to move on to the consent calendar. Before we move on to the consent calendar, I just want to say thank you for your public comment, and we'll be thinking about it and looking into it. But we don't have any resolutions or questions. No. Oh.
Well,
I do.
Oh, yeah, okay. We'll go with Member O'Brien first.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't know the answer. but it's something that we will have to look into. So what I mean I don't know is I'm not sure who's responsible for that type of activity on the beach.
Yeah. So the city owns Dog Beach. You have two police officers on duty at night. And if we're going to have 4th of July fireworks show, they're all going to be dedicated to keeping that area safe, so they will not be on Dog Beach. So I worked the city of Santa Cruz, and in Santa Cruz County, the sheriff's office kept everyone off the beach. That's how you keep people off, you know, from polluting the beach with fireworks, is you have a armed force who keeps everyone off the beach, and you gate the beach. If that's what you have to do if you want to keep it clean. Unfortunately, that's just a reality. So if we're going to bring 4th of July fireworks show, all of the city's resources will be deployed to ensure that the fireworks show is carried off safely and that people are able to enter and exit the city, because you'll have thousands of people come to the city like we have on the the holiday lighted boat parade. You'll have about 10,000 people on the waterfront. So all of our public safety resources will be deployed, including on overtime. To answer the question before, probably $10,000 to $20,000 expense to do that. Not saying we shouldn't do that, but that's just a reality. So we wouldn't be able to have resources at Dog Beach unless the sheriff's office were to bring folks in. And understanding the current dynamic with the sheriff's office, I don't think they'd be doing that. So unfortunately, it's a cleanup effort, and we appreciate the folks in our community to do that. We certainly can make a call out for volunteers. We do our best to respond to legal fireworks displays, but again, we will have all of our resources dedicated to this public, you know, display show and not being able to respond to those calls.
I have one sort of follow-up.
Thank you, Scott.
For the Dog Beach question, and I interpreted more of a general question, not just the one-time event. Is the city accountable for, you know, maintaining that, the cleanliness of that Dog Beach, and just in general?
Yes, just like the rest of the beach, you know, we possess. So we've been lucky to have volunteers who do a lot of that work.
Okay.
But we are obligated to create a management plan for Dog Beach, and we're still in the process of doing that. It does extend sort of the reach of our maintenance team, but that's part of that is figuring out how to address. It's mainly the dog waste that we're talking about. But we've been fortunate to have a lot of volunteers who do that, but it is the city's responsibility, and we're developing a plan for that.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Is there any facility for the people that use Dog Beach? Is there a group or anything that uses that area? I was just thinking it would be a nice, if there was a club or a group that they would take over something like that.
They've been doing that, Jeremiah, and I think they're looking for the city to take that on. And I don't blame them, honestly, but it is a lot to do, and so it's not only that, but it's also the parking plan, because that's...
Yeah.
It is sort of a narrow strip for people to exit a freeway to high speed, so that's part of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was just excuse me. I was just thinking that I could be wrong, but most of the beaches, I don't know about Dog Beach, but most of the beaches are maintained by the people who use them.
Right. It's a, you know, responsibility, personal responsibility. You know, pack your own trash. Right. And a lot of the beach inside Morro Bay is actually state-maintained, but this stretch was Chevron-owned, and now it's city-owned. So, you know, we're sort of figuring out how best to manage it.
But it's generally cleaned. I mean, I think it's generally picked up by the users.
Correct.
Yeah.
But there are people who don't. Yeah.
So I have a good friend who does Morro Bay Beautiful, and I'll contact her and talk to her about cleanup, either voluntary or an event for people to do cleanup. My question: were you referring to Dog Beach after fireworks, or just in general all the time?
No, fireworks.
Oh, because fireworks. And that's for, like, the last 6 years that we haven't had fireworks, that Dog Beach gets trashed.
It's getting worse and worse. Like, the last 2 years ago, we had a dumpster there that they put for 4th of July. But then, like, this year, or last year's 4th of July, nobody even put a dumpster.
Okay. Thank you. If, can you do me a favor and come to the podium just so that people at home can hear you? Sorry. Sorry. We really appreciate yours.
No, but mostly just for 4th of July. I mean, like a couple of years ago, we had somebody, I guess the city, had put a dumpster there, and it was used. But then, like last year, there was no dumpster. And fireworks, you know, the fireworks are fun, but then after they go boom, the trash gets left, and people were, there was huge piles last year. So if we could maybe get a dumpster out there, that again, at least that helps for those of us who then go and pick up the revelers garbage to have a place to put it. And then I know that for myself, I'm a vet, and I hate fireworks. I hate them. They can be like what you're asking for in a display, and that's okay because now I know that we have the display, and I can, you know, get myself right with it. Like you were saying though, like the people that come and then they bring their fireworks from out of town and just let them go. Those are the worst. I mean, they just scare the shit out of me. But the cleanup and the nastiness of it, what's left with the beaches, if we could get, I would support and be more than happy to support what you're asking for with a firework display. But I would love to get some help with the illegal fireworks, I guess, that come in and the enforcement of that.
You got it. I'll work on that, and definitely I'll include Morro Bay Dog Beach cleanup for the next day, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, I would love for people to go to your display so they stop trashing our beach.
Exactly. Yeah, now I hear you. All right. All right. Thank you so much for your public comment. And we're going to move on to not business, consent calendar. So we have... the approval of minutes for the Harbor Advisory Board meeting on August 4th. We have the approval of minutes for the Harbor Board meeting September 1st. And then we have the Harbor Department status report. Does anybody want to pull any of these items?
I'd like to pull A3 for a couple questions for Becca.
Okay. Go ahead and ask your questions.
Hey, Becca. Yeah, I saw the staff report, and, you know, we saw some of the damage from the recent storm. I know at the city level they've applied for FEMA funds. For that, they're pretty far in the future. I assume the Harbor Department, like the broken up docks and things like that, do you expect to get to apply for and possibly receive any FEMA funds for that?
Thank you for your question. We did submit in for the FEMA funding as well for the damage on the waterfront and docks and revetment areas. Whether or not we will receive the funding for that, it's a little early to tell. We do have city insurance that will help to do some emergency repairs to some of the docks that are needing to be fixed right away, that are unusable at this time.
I have a question on A3 as well. What's the best way for the public to find out about, like, I know there's generally, like, on the news, like, a water quality issue after major storms. So what's the best way for the public to find out about water quality in our area?
So the SLO County Health Department has on their webpage a link to water quality. They do testing after each rain. And that's where if the city notices a water quality issue, it has to get reported first to the SLO County Health Department, and then they put out the message. And it third hand comes back to the Harbor Department, which then you can call us, and we'll let you know what they told us.
Cool. Do we have like signs or flags or any system like that?
There are signs that actually are at the beach access, like the main beach access down at Morro Rock, and by the what we call the pit, the North Creek access, there's like flip down signs there that the health department actually manages.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
They do recommend, though, any time after a large amount of rain, 72 hours following a large rain, to be careful or steer clear out of the water.
No further questions? No? Do I have a motion to approve our consent items as stated? As
I so move.
Second. Okay. Do we need a vote, or are we good, Lori?
Member Green?
Yes.
Member Vail?
Yes.
Chair Hansen?
Yes.
Member Myers?
Yes.
Member O'Brien?
Yes.
Your motion passes.
Okay, and I open public comment. Do we have anybody public comment on any of the consent items? Nate, do we have anybody in Zoom?
There is nobody on the Zoom.
All right, thank you. Okay, moving on to business items. We have B1, which is update from the Parking Management Paid Parking Ad Hoc Committee on recent activities. We have the chair, Member Myers.
Currently, this we haven't done much activity since our last HAB meeting. At that point, we were looking at trying to finalize some of the details for potentially paid parking down at the Embarcadero, with the number of city council meetings or changes there. We were paused to get their input to see if that's going to continue to be to move forward, and then some of the input from the Walker study. I know they were doing a follow-up study that we were waiting to hear back from as well. That's about it. There are some near-term future parking items that we might want to explore, specifically around Pacific Avenue with the repaving. But I think time is of the essence of that, if that was something that we'd want to go after pretty quickly.
You want me to take that?
Yes.
Okay. So on Pacific Avenue, and as many people have noticed, all of the different detours around downtown, they are repaving Pacific as well as Main and multiple other fingerlings from around there. And I do know that Pacific specifically had a traffic. Scott, maybe you can tell me if at what stage they had a traffic study done to see if Pacific could have perpendicular parking or angled parking. And to my knowledge, that was approved. And so is it at a stage where striping can occur rather than just doing the parallel parking? Once they have to do all the stop signs again and the whatever you call those globules in the middle of the road. Anyway, once they have to do the restriping, why not just do it as the increased parking spaces? Is that possible, feasible?
Good question. I think there's a phasing of this. The work that's being done right now is fixing the broken parts of the road. We have a new approach to expand the value of our dollar. We used to just kind of wholesale, you know, redo roads. The new engineers trying to stretch the dollar, so we're getting more roads fixed in the areas that are actually broken. That's what you're seeing occur now, and that's going to go all the way down, I think, to Taco Bell on Main Street. And then the second project later this year will be to come back and do the Cape Seal, which is what most people think of as when you pave the road, which makes it look clean. But we're making it smooth now. So I don't believe there's going to be a need to do that right away. Certainly we're thinking about the next summer coming up and wanting to have the whatever parking stripes done in time for that. I don't know if a program was approved. I don't recall anything ever being approved by council. I think there was a concept for perpendicular parking to gain more parking spaces, but I imagine whatever study was done was ages ago and would need to be redone. So I'll need to check with Public Works. That was a Rob Liebig thing years ago before I was here.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, I'm so glad to have our city council liaison here to think about that. It is something that the Parking Management Ad Hoc Committee finds very important. We did put together our recommendation as far as the paid parking pilot program. And one of those is to immediately restripe Pacific Street for extra parking for employees or guests, just because we get extremely congested during the summertime and during the weekends, and that would alleviate a lot of the burden that we have for everyone to be able to enjoy the Embarcadero. All right, do we have any questions? Member O'Brien?
I just had a question. Scott, you mentioned perpendicular parking. Now, is that...
It's angled parking is what I meant to say.
Okay.
Instead of parallel, it's... Yeah, sorry.
Okay. I just wanted to...
Yeah.
For a lot of people listening, I wanted to clarify that because we do have some perpendicular parking on Market Street.
Right.
And it's taking your life in your hands, whether you're coming in or out of it. So thank you very much,
Thanks,
Scott,
for the clarification.
Seeing no other questions, I'm going to open it up for a public comment. Nobody's for public comment. Nate, do we have anybody in Zoom?
There are no raised hands in the Zoom.
All right. Thank you. So we're going to move on to our next item, which is... Ooh, she double-sided it for me. We're saving paper these days. I like it. Okay. Updates from the Marine Services Ad Hoc Committee. For that, we'll go to Member Vail.
There really are no additions to the work we did before, nor are we aware of any changes to Marine Services, additional Marine Services for the recreational boaters or commercial boaters or what have you. So I think we just leave that sit for now. Somebody described it before as that we kind of put a bow on it months ago. And until something is presented that needs addressing, status quo.
Questions from anyone?
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that is with some of the potential changes with the Vistra property that might present some opportunities to improve or enhance Marine Services, especially with Proposition D and that intake building specifically. There may be some opportunities there, but until something changes there, then it's not much to do.
Don't say that word. Don't say boatyard. You can't say
Okay, so as far as Marine Services, I agree with both of you. I think you should really stay close to the process that everyone is, that Vistra is wanting to include the community into, and make sure that you mention Marine Services and whatever can possibly fit within the new developments that would surround the battery storage. Okay, I'm going to open it up to public comment. Just so glad to have people in the room. Thank you so much. And Nate, do we have anybody on Zoom?
Nobody in the Zoom.
All right, so I'm going to close public comment. We're going to move on to our next item, which is update from the Finance and Budget Ad Hoc Committee. And that we go to Sean.
We haven't met since last we updated about some grant opportunities that Mary was pushing forward with. I think it's similar to the other ad hoc committees that there's a little bit of a holding pattern. The new harbor director's coming in on board in a few weeks here, and I imagine of the many things that he'll be tasked with, planning out whether it might be revenue brainstorm opportunities and or grant opportunities. I think those are probably the next things in the coming 3 to 6 months, I'd say.
Thank you. Any questions from other members? No. Any public comment? Not seeing any in the room. Nate, any Zoom?
Still no raised hands in the Zoom.
Okay. All right. Yep, that's a no. Okay, so next on our agenda is B4, which is the Harbor Advisory Board Member Public Engagement Outreach. I'm going to start over. Go for it.
Thank you, Therese. I was able to do a couple of science classes with Morro Bay High School last week, and was able to bring them not only around Morro Bay, but trip through the museum, which I hope anybody listening that hasn't been to the museum, please go down and enjoy what we have here in Morro Bay. It's very, very interesting. And it's all free. And let's see, I think that's probably since the last time that... You know, I did want to say, and I hate to be out of line, I was late coming, but everybody knows, of course, that Scott Collins, who's present, is leaving us for... Now, he's not going too far, but I just wanted to say from the Harbor Advisory Board, thank you very, very much for the service here. Scott immediately took to Morro Bay, and it's just sad losing such a wonderful talent, but hopefully he won't be too far away.
Member Myers.
Actually, on the outreach side, Judy from reached out from the Regional Boating Organization of California. Just recently. I'm sorry? Recreational Boating. Sorry, I didn't get it quite right. And just started the position as a director there. She's just participating now, and probably get her to do a presentation probably in the March time frame. So we're excited to have you participate in the Harbor Advisory Board. I have at this point.
We do have an Otter Savvy coming in March, so perhaps April, okay. Maybe. I'm going to go since I interrupted that one. I think it's about 2 weeks ago. I've been working on a Safe Boating Week art contest for Del Mar students, and I got the opportunity to go with two Harbor Patrol members to give a brief safety demonstration to the 4th-5th grade classes, and they got to learn about safety. And so the contest that we put together is going to have prizes such as gift certificates and trips on the boat, and the art that they will create. Three of us from this committee will be put on a choosing the first, second, and third place winners with their prizes. There's a trip on a fishing charter Endeavor boat for two people for a half day. Anyway, it's going to be a really great thing, and once they complete it and we pick it, the first place winner is going to be put on a poster that talks about all the events that are going to occur through the Harbor Patrol for Boating Safety Week. So I'm excited to see what they put together and then see the finished product, all plastered around Morro Bay, talking about boating safety in the harbor. Always check out the Chamber. They have Breakfast on the Bay, and it has been a really good area to get more input from city staff. We've had a lot of local businesses on there, so Breakfast on the Bay for the Chamber, check out their website and think about going and attending that one. It's very informative. And with that, I'm going to pass it on to Member Vail for his outreach.
Do your work at the museum.
All right.
Yeah, they have me strapped to a post at the Maritime Museum, and other than that, I have no contact with outreach.
I have a couple items here. First, regarding Cal Poly, this is sort of a long-distance, way into the future kind of thing, but Cal Poly is converting to the semester system to join all the rest of the CSUs. We're on quarter system now. I feel like there are opportunities. So right now, if the Harbor Department or any entity in the city of Morro Bay wants to work with an undergraduate or a graduate class or program, pretty much you almost have to work with like a thesis level student if you want any kind of longevity with a project. But given the 10 weeks turning into 19 weeks, there might be some really good opportunities for upper division undergraduates to work with the Harbor Department or other departments in town, or nonprofits, or really any entity here. I know community development has done this in the past. I know Public Works has done this in the past, where it might be 3 students, it might be 10 students, it might be an entire class that puts together what's the equivalent of, it could be free consulting, you know, in business. It could be landscape architecture. It can be really a lot of different things, and it's a great opportunity to get Cal Poly more on our radar and for Morro Bay to be more on Cal Poly's radar, because sometimes there's a disconnect. I also wanted to mention, sort of piggybacking what Charisse was saying about the Vistra master planning process, on February 17th is when that master plan link outreach opportunity closes, and so we have another 2 weeks or so for anyone to participate, and that includes people that support, oppose, really anything to do with Vistra's potential battery operation and their master planning, because that site is so important to the city. So regardless of how you feel about it, there are opportunities to chime in with your 2 cents, what you think could be there, what you think should be there, how you can rank the different opportunities that might be there. So I would encourage everyone to participate in that. And then a week later, there's a slightly related opportunity to participate in public benefits and community benefits discussions in general at the February 24th, I think it's February 24th, Planning Commission meeting. The Public Benefits Subcommittee, which consists of myself, Planning Commissioners Joe Ingrafia and Mike Rodriguez, we're sort of representing a document that the planning commissioners will then discuss to determine if and how a more formal community benefits or public benefits process could be put into place for developments in town, where, let's say, for example, a private developer pairs an offering or a public benefit of sorts to the city in conjunction with their private development. So that's generally the idea, and that is at the Planning Commission meeting on February 24th. And then lastly, also piggybacking on what Charisse was saying about boating safety and the contest that she's offering, when I was in Friday Harbor up in Seattle, or out in Puget Sound, there was such a neat art installation that was these physical little pedestals, probably, you know, maximum $75 or $100 a pop, let's say 50 scattered around the harbor. And what was so great about them is that they were permanent fixtures, but they were temporarily removable plaques that offered like an annual or semi-annual opportunity to change out those kinds of things. So if, let's say, there was a boating safety contest every year, that the winners could be presented for a period of 3 months, let's say, and then maybe the seventh graders have a poetry contest, or the ninth graders have some sort of art competition, or whatever. So I think there's an opportunity to more permanently display these things on a rotating basis, so that people come into town and get to sort of bring their family to the thing that they made. So anyway, it's something that I'll put together some photos that I had and send them along. Thank you.
All right, wonderful. Thank you. I'm going to open public comment and see none. Nate Zoom.
There are none.
Thank you. All right, moving on to the meat of our meeting. Scott Collins, would you like to start item B? Well, no, where did it go?
B5. And just the meeting, Sean, is... Planning Commission meeting is Tuesday, February 21st. Is that
Yes, so it's the Tuesday, the second Tuesday of the month, so the 21st.
It's first and third, so it's the 21st. I just want to make sure it was the Planning Commission meeting, so it is the 21st.
It is the Planning Commission, yeah, so Tuesday the 21st. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, no problem. Before I jump into the goals PowerPoint, I just want to extend my thanks and gratitude to the five of you and your two members who aren't here tonight for the amazing work you do for our community. You know, it's typical that cities have advisory boards and commissions. It's atypical that there's involved at the heart level and on the ground level to actually help us do work. So I just want to thank you. It's deeply impactful in a positive way for our harbor staff, who are also amazing. Love how much the two of these folks sitting next to me have stepped up in the absence of our former harbor director, Eric Indersby. They've done a tremendous job. And Beck and I talked about her being an interim. We didn't foresee a 100-year storm to hit us in her first or second week on the job, but she did it with grace. And Lori's held down so much in Eric's absence as well. And so just want to extend my thanks to you two and the folks who stand behind you in the harbor. Harbor team. So, moving forward, the city goals process, if you can go to the next slide, please. I'm just going to give an update on where we are with the goals and also talk about the goals process so everybody's on the same page. Next slide, please. So it's typical after an election year, starting in January, we start a revise of the goals that the city has adopted, and we're on a two-year cycle. So we're in the new cycle here, and we are going to seek input from the community in a variety of ways, including a community survey that will go out tomorrow, which is different from the master plan survey. I just want to make sure that's clear. We're going to all the advisory boards and seeking input. We'll have a community forum. We're also seeking input through the chamber and our tourism board. City Council will take all that input at the aggregate level, either in March or late March, early April, in a community forum where they can grapple with the goals and either keep the ones we have, throw them all out, start over, as well as adopt action items that help make those goals come alive. They will probably review those in their entirety in April or early May, and that will become the sort of work plan, if you will, for the advisory board. So your input is very important because it'll tell council what you think is important, and the council will reflect that back to you, and then you carry out what they want you to do, right? So your input is incredibly important. Next slide, please. So it all comes back to what our purpose here is as a city, and that's to provide essential public services and infrastructure to maintain a safe, clean, and healthy place for residents and visitors to live, work, and play. It's a lot of words, but they have deep meaning for staff. I know it means a lot for you and for our city council and mayor. That purpose defines about 90 to 95% of what we do on the day-to-day basis. It's the services that we provide. The goals stand on top of that. If we're able to provide those essential services, then we can think about our future. And the future means planning, means projects, it means being able to finance our future and address some of our needs that are becoming more and more apparent. So I just want to make sure people understand if we can't do the basics, then we can't look to the future. And I think we've been successful because our community is funded time and again, stepped up to the plate and helped fund the services that they understand makes their lives better, but we have more work to do for the future. So next slide, please. So these are the goals that were adopted in November of 2021. Public infrastructure, economic and fiscal sustainability, housing was a new one, climate action was a new one, and improved community health as we were sort of in the middle of the pandemic or sort of coming out of it. Next slide, please. So each of the goals has a goal statement that sort of helps define what we mean by the goals, and then the short-term actions are those actions that we're trying to pursue in the short term. I'm not going to go through these. They are spelled out in detail in the staff report, but I just want to everybody have a look at those goals. So the next slide is our fiscal sustainability and economic vitality. That's been a mainstay, as well as public infrastructure, for the last, I would say, 6 or plus years. Next slide. Housing became a new one. I think that's becoming more pronounced throughout the region, just really trying to figure out how we can balance the needs of those who can't afford housing, but also not ruining our community character. A lot of action items related to that. Next slide. Climate action became a new goal a couple years ago. So most of the items are related to kind of education and helping connect residents to services that help reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. But we also have some of the bigger things, like the proposed battery project, and not listed here is offshore wind as well, that are sort of new things that we're all grappling with as a community. And the last next slide is community health was added on. That was, again, sort of in the middle of the pandemic, and wanting to make sure that we were able to connect services, public health services, to those who are typically underserved in our community, but also had new things like addressing homelessness, as well as diversity, equity, inclusion, and connecting into the underrepresented portions of our community. So next slide, please. So on the update, we've been tackling, I think there was in total 35 action items, and we've been making progress in almost all of them. Some of that work will continue, of course, but that will be directed by the City Council. Undergirding again that statement about our purpose, we have to make sure that we're able to staff these things so we can actually accomplish those action items so they're not hollow. So we constantly evaluate how we're doing in terms of staffing, and that's a constant discussion with council. The next time being the mid-year budget process, which is the end of this month, and of course the fiscal year, next fiscal year, looking at the budget and making sure we're able to accomplish those action items. Next slide, please. So here's what I would consider, but I mean, it's debatable. I'm sure there's others within those 35 action items that have relation to the harbor and the Harbor Advisory Board. But these are the ones that stand out most, is the capital assessment effort, which we do have funds set aside to begin that. And in some respects, we already started that with the help of Ron Reisner, who used to be a HAB member, who did an assessment after the storm looking at the damages. So I think some of that work's already underway, but we do have additional budget set aside to start to help really define what the project should be, and come to the HAB, the Public Works Advisory Board, and Council to help prioritize which ones we should pursue first. We already heard about the paid parking pilot program. That's something that's underway, and Walker Consultants have kind of gone back and forth, ping pong, between me and the HAB ad hoc group or subcommittee. So I think we're getting close to being able to deliver something that has more concreteness to it in terms of the revenue projections and what the impacts may be from that, both positive and negative. Pursuing grant opportunities for the Coleman Beach area, we actually are successful in that. We've received a state grant of $600,000 last year on top of the per capita amount of $170,000. So we're starting to build a reward chest to actually be able to do something of significance in the Coleman Beach area, which is going to necessitate a more thorough public engagement process. We really tried to do what we could in the short term because we knew we were up against grant application deadlines, but it was successful. And there's also potential for, you know, grouping that with a Coastal Conservancy to do something around the tribes and the Filipino Americans, and having some kind of cultural component that would kind of double up with what we're trying to do for Coleman Beach. So we could have something really cool in the next couple of years, and they're talking maybe another $1 million for that. So more to come. Fiscal goal is assess the viability for business improvement districts within the downtown and Embarcadero areas. The chamber worked with a group to actually do some polling and surveying of business owners in both areas to see if there's interest in forming a business improvement district and getting ideas of what that might look like. There seems like there's some interest from business owners, but of course it comes down to dollars and cents and what you could actually use those funds for. So I think there's probably going to be another add-on to that discussion. I think the business owners are interested, but also maybe don't have the wherewithal, just trying to keep up with all the things going on in the economy to lead something like this. So I think there'll be more discussion and certainly something that council will look at with the goals process. Review development opportunities for the Market Plaza property. There is interest in that being developed into a larger hotel. So that's potentially a project that could come to Planning Commission and Council in the next year or so. And then continue review of the Vistra proposed battery project. As of now, we're getting slowly receiving information from Vistra for the environmental review process. I guess best estimates is sometime in the second half of the year where we may actually have something to bring forward to the Planning Commission to review and Council as well. So those are the items that have current action items that relate to the Harbor Department and to the Harbor Advisory Board. Next slide. So our recommendations tonight are to receive the goals update, and then there are questions embedded towards the end of the staff report that we don't necessarily need you to answer tonight, and this was a good conversation we had with your chair about wanting to have a two-step process for tonight for you to kind of absorb the update and then think about the future. So the questions we'd ask the seven of you, the five that are here tonight, is to think about these questions and then provide written responses individually to the Harbor Department team, and then they will aggregate that and then present it back to you as a full team in the March meeting so that you can help prioritize amongst yourselves what you want the council to focus on. So those questions ask, if you had to pick one major harbor waterfront priority for the city to focus on, what would it be? Do you believe the current five city goals reflect the priorities of the harbor? Yes, no. And if you answered no, please elaborate. What action items should the city pursue related to harbor and waterfront? And then just, generally provide any other input you'd want us to consider. So, again, the purpose of tonight is just to absorb the information. You can certainly ask us, for more in-depth updates on all the action items, but we're giving you homework to think individually about what you want the council to have you focus on in the next couple years, and then provide that by Friday, February 17th, to staff. Then they'll put it in aggregate form so we don't violate the Brown Act, present it back to you, and then you have a great discussion on the 3rd where you actually provide formal input to the city council. I thank the chair for coming up with that idea. I think it's great. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, so as he mentioned, we're going to compile a list of goals that we would like to work on. The idea is to get them in to just Lori only by February 17th. She'll put them together for our next agenda, and then we can meet and prioritize and then decide what the top ones are that we want to submit to the council as our requests. So at this stage in the game, I'm going to open it up for questions for Scott. And then after that, I think that if anybody does already have some goals that they want to bring up, we'll at least start a beginning list of those goals tonight. Sound good? Okay, so I'm going to open it up for questions for Scott.
Sure. Generally speaking about the role of advisory boards, can you speak to, is it fair to say that items pretty much have to appear on city goals and or work items for us to be given the responsibility or the opportunity to chime in on them?
It really helps create clarity, and it creates that cohesiveness that the city desires. We want to make sure we're focusing on the things that's most important to our community, and we can do anything, we can't do everything. And so I think that's helps drive your work plan. Now, of course, things happen midstream, like the storm a couple weeks ago that we can't predict, so we have to be fluid enough to move in that respect. But generally speaking, yes, Board Member Green, we'd like those things to be aligned. But it wouldn't forestall you from being able to add something later on. There's a process to do that where you can request to staff, they can take it to council, and it can replace something that's already on the work plan. Again, we're just trying to manage expectations and get the work done.
So once the list has been published, we could still seek out additional responsibility, or council could ask additional responsibility of us?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Member Vail, do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
Okay. Member O'Brien, do you have any questions?
Thanks, Teresa. I was kind of just wondering for the options that we'll all hopefully be coming up with for the future agenda. Are we going to go, how deep do we want to go into it? Do you want to go into things like assessing things like riprap or more expensive projects that the harbor is going to have to at some time address?
I think that you could probably put them into one bigger thing, and it doesn't mean that you can't like propose a goal that's riprapped, but if once we come together with the entire thing, we can mold it into something that has more of like an infrastructure need, and then we can even fine-tune it, but I would assume that it would probably fall under harbor infrastructure, what you've suggested so far. But no, just add as many as you want, yeah. And from that we'll compile what a concise request from the council would be as far as goals.
Questions just from a logistic perspective. There's nothing, assuming we stayed underneath the Brown Act radar, that I couldn't get Jeremiah and I couldn't work together and converse and maybe meet, you know, individually or pair up during the course.
So long as there isn't any more than two or three of you speaking on it. You can't talk to one.
Talk with him on Tuesday, and you know, other beverages with Chris later on.
Yeah, if it was the three of you, that's fine. But if you then talk to Sharice, then we have a Brown Act violation.
Gotcha. All right. Okay.
Yeah. You can't go over a quorum.
At any one time.
Just it for a specific issue, you cannot talk to more than a couple of your colleagues.
Understood.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, I think that concludes the question portion of it. And does anybody have some goals that they want us to start writing down at this stage in the game?
Sure, I would recommend you take public comment this time.
Oh, public comment first?
Before you go into discussion. Yeah.
I'm going to open it up for public comment. Would anybody in the audience like to make a public comment at this time? Seeing none. Nate, do we have anyone in Zoom?
There is nobody in the Zoom.
All right, thank you very much. Okay, now we can move forward to anybody who'd want to discuss or even ask some questions regarding some goal ideas for our next meeting. Okay, then I will go. one of the things that I would like to see included in our goals has to do with the Waterfront Master Plan. The Waterfront Master Plan, the last time that it was updated was in the early 80s, and it has a lot of room to improve and get up to date. We also have quite a few things going on around the waterfront that it's like the chicken or the egg thing, like what's in the Waterfront Master Plan, can we do or what's going on with Vistra and the Battery Project, and what's going on with Coleman Park. I believe that they're all interconnected and should be dealt with at the same time in order to remedy those question marks as far as who's going to do what. I personally would really like to see everything tied in, especially with the Harbor Walk. One of our previous agenda items was how does the city take care of the areas between the private, not private, but the businesses or the Tidelands properties that are city maintained, continuing that harbor walk all the way to Coleman Park and then beyond Coleman Park and onto Widow Walls and to the south side of the Rock, talking about restrooms, talking about we're going to have to start talking to state parks and rec regarding what is their space and what are they supposed to maintain and why do they have giant resting posts in the ground. Those are things that I think that we should address and make sure that we get them on the table at the same time that people are talking about other projects such as Vistra. So I'm going to put that on. Goal should be updating the waterfront master plan. Sean, did you have a question? I guess I should say that. And then that's my main one. And then you want to go? Go ahead. I'm going to find my second one. There it is.
Sure. I'll be sure to submit these in writing as well and probably expand upon this, but some items that I think are particularly important at the broad and a little bit more specific level. Maintain or expand public engagement and community outreach and participation, especially in medium and large-scale projects. Improve transparency, which used to be a city goal a couple of years ago when it was particularly important. I think it should come back. Transparency, compliance, and enforcement. As it pertains to Harbor, that includes things like auditing, like regularly scheduled audits, keeping track of the gross percent sales tax is an important one. Maintaining updated building appraisals. I'm sorry, I couldn't find the word. I think we need to improve coordination between boards, possibly by adding back a joint annual meeting or two with, let's say, Harbor and Planning Commission or Harbor and Public Works or whatever. We work better when we know what the other departments are doing. I think that we'll keep some aspect of with climate action on the plan. The general plan does a pretty good job of addressing lots of theoretical or future aspects of climate action, but more practically speaking, issues of offshore wind, lease sites, potential port infrastructure, and/or battery plant growth. I think we need to pay close attention to expired and expiring lease sites in the Tidelands Trust and quickly initiate some requests for proposals on some available lease sites. I think always we need to pay attention to conscientious development in town, in particular conscientious waterfront development, which factors in many different things, too many to go on about right now. I think historical and cultural preservation remains important, maybe more so, and there are opportunities, some of which city manager just spoke about, at Coleman Park. Also related to Coleman Park, I think that some of the early artist renditions are promising. It'll be important to re-engage the public on some of those items, in particular maintaining or expanding kayak and SUP loading and unloading opportunities and potential rinse stations at the location where many people already do that at Mother's Beach. Coastal access is super important. Charisse mentioned maintaining or reaching a continuous harbor walk. That's the number one aspect of that, but also enforcement of a sort of creeping benches, creeping plants, creeping or narrowing walkways, and taking a look at the CDP and the CUPs of waterfront lease sites to make sure that everything that's there is what was agreed upon in that original plan. But yeah, I think there are a lot of opportunities there, and I hope to expand upon those in writing in the next week or so.
Member O'Brien?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm sorry. I didn't understand how in-depth we were looking. I just did want to mention the things like monitoring, keeping tabs on the progression of our slips and docks and the infrastructure that were damaged before or during the storm. I think the harbor department's already addressing it, but things that really need attention, such as the launch ramp, naturally parking issues, and large donations to the museum.
Okay, I think I actually had a question for you for the offshore wind. You being the part with the fishermen, what is the acronym? I forget, for Morro Bay.
The MBCFO, Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Organization.
Okay, perfect, yes. How do you feel, and what is the update from that group regarding the sale of the site?
Well, as we know and the city knows and most people know, Castle Wind was not one of the companies being awarded a lease. So they are the company that we had been doing business with mostly, and we had actually had a written signed contract with them. But we have a corporation that deals with the Morro Bay area here, and the lady who owns Castle Wind is going to stay on as our president as our chairman of the board for the time being. So we're very surprised that she would, after not receiving a lease, stay with us. I think she was impressed by Morro Bay, by the people here, and so forth. So, that being said, we have been contacted by one of the three companies who's been awarded the lease and have scheduled meetings, and actually two companies, one who has informed us they will be contacting the fishing industry here early March. And I think what they're doing is waiting until they have the actual lease in hand, and it's to be awarded in March. The third company, which is the San Luis, is it San Luis?
Central Coast.
Central Coast, thank you, Scott. Sorry. Central Coast Wind Company, which was somewhat new to us, has not been in touch with us. But we are expecting them all to... We're not expecting much anything. I guess I'll shorten this up here. We're not expecting much anything to happen until March, when the companies are awarded their actual lease. But we are in touch. But nothing's going on.
Okay. So I'm thinking about goals and about offshore wind, and we know that it was a previous goal of the city council, and it might continue to be. Being from your position and wanting to have the Harbor Advisory Board review it as well, were you satisfied and happy with the terms that you and Castle Wind came to? Or do you want, or is your group, speaking on behalf of your group, somebody who wants to renegotiate at the table with the new members or the new owners?
Leaders? No, I think everybody is happy or satisfied. Not everybody, of course, because nothing makes everybody happy. But it was, the agreement we had was satisfactory. We hope to use that as a template going further. So it's hard to explain, but no, the fishermen aren't happy. We will never be happy.
And I'll jump in there because this item is
now,
not.
No, I'm not talking about everything in general. Yeah. I'm just talking about the wind, and we don't need to get into a big discussion about it. But it's in the way. It's removing every square mile, in this case 400. Their build out is going to be 3,000, near 4,000 square miles. So I'm not the right person to ask if we are happy.
All right, so I know Scott's going to cut us off. So what I'm getting at is that when we put together our goals for the city council, that we want to have the input from your group to see if you want to include that to keep in mind the fishermen of Morro Bay, commercial fishermen and the like, when they pursue offshore wind. And I think that the Harbor Advisory Board would be a good area to hear that. So if we needed to recommend continuing to look into offshore wind, it would be with the caveat that they take into consideration needs.
Yes, thank you for suggesting that. And, we certainly appreciate it.
Okay.
And anybody further who wants the fishing industry side, please feel free to contact me and be happy to give you an earful.
Okay. All right. So that concludes, I think, the list that we've created so far. I do want to say that it might not be on the list, but I do request the support from the City Council for advisory boards. Sean, you mentioned it. Request things from us more frequently when further analysis of agenda items warrant increased knowledge and research. You got a great pool of people to do some work and give you the cliff notes if need be on a lot of the things that are all things harbor. And so we'd like to be always thought of in the decision-making process. If you need our support, we're here. We just need to know you want us to recommend and advise. I think that concludes it, but I'm going to open it up for public comment at this time.
You already did.
Oh, we did? Okay, so this was just the writing part, and there's nothing to vote on. So I believe we are finished with this item. We're going to move on to the next item, which I don't think double-sided paper worked for me this time. It's so confusing. Okay, so moving on to item B6, which is election of Harbor Advisory Board Chair and Vice Chair. And before we make any motions, I would like to say it has been a pleasure to be your chairperson for 2 years now. I remember my first time that I was elected onto the board. I was sitting in my car in a good spot for my phone to hotspot my computer in the mountains. So loved Zoom, and I didn't even know 100% that I was going to be the chair, but I just started that whole thing. And then slowly, as the lights went down and my car battery died, it got even better. So I think I've started off in an interesting spot, and I'm going to most likely not do chairing next year. I have a great interest in the format of everything. So with that, I would like to see the person who I've been vetting for the chair position to move into the chair role, and then I would like to stay on as the co-chair, because I'd really like to keep our pulse on all of the different things that are going on in Morro Bay right now. With that being said, I'm going to ask anybody that's in on the board, if you in the near future or in the future, during your membership on the Harbor Advisory Board, are you interested in being a chair or vice chair? And you can raise your hand. There you go.
Not this year.
Not this year. Sean, you have?
Yeah, can I just nominate Cal for it to be the chair? I'd like to nominate Cal Myers to be the chair of the Harbor Advisory Board.
You can second it.
Okay. I second that.
All right. So we're going to take a vote on that. Lori.
Member Green.
Yes.
Member Vail.
Yes.
Chair Hansen.
Yes.
Member Myers.
Weird if I said anything, but yes. Yes.
Member O'Brien.
Yes.
Your motion passes.
All right, wonderful. And now we need to have a motion for a vice chair position.
Oh. I nominate Cherise Hansen for vice chair.
Second.
All right, Lori, can we have a vote, please?
Was that Vail that did the motion?
Yes.
Member Green?
Yes.
Member Vail?
Yes.
Member Hansen?
Yes.
Member Myers?
Yes.
Member O'Brien?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, are you gonna? Well, at least, yeah. Okay. So, do we open that to public comment right now? No, we don't have to open it up to public comment. So we're going to move to our next last item, which is, does anybody have any future agenda items they wish to consider?
Yeah, I was just going to say, and it's not a future agenda item, so I'm going to say it anyways, but thank you very much, Cherise. You have done an outstanding, wonderful job. And, yeah, it was bottom of my heart. Thank you.
Sean?
I think we could use a future agenda item to rethink our committees and outreach assignments to see if they still make sense and or we need to sort of repurpose them or reorganize them in a useful way. And that could be a discussion that it takes place over one meeting or I'm not sure, but I feel like instead of just holding over the things month after month, we could rethink it.
Okay, so I should have addressed that, but I was just so, you know, happy to be the vice chair. So we will be talking about it later. Right now, because we're going to do the two-year goals, things might shift in the actual ad hoc committees. We might change, we might morph them into something else, and then at that point we'll pick different chairs and members of those bodies, but we're going to hold off that until we get the goals back, and we're going to keep the ad hoc committees as they are currently until then, so like 2-3 months, something like that. All right, with that, Scott, I'm really upset, super duper upset, and I can't say, okay, I'll say something positive. It's been a pleasure. It's been awesome. I've really felt that you've listened to everything. Anyway, I'm just going to leave it at that. You've listened and taken it in and just been a really good community man, you know, just all around your kids. I think that that's just such a great thing. And if we could require everybody to live in the city limits who is staff, you know, Cayucas counts and, you know, Los Osos, Atascadero, kind of. She's not listening. All right. Anyway, it's been a real great pleasure, and we're going to miss you, and I hope that you're going to be around to help the interim and then the eventual replacement, and that I get to be on the interview committee. Okay. All right. Thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure. See you next month. Thank you for public participation. Appreciate it.